Welcome. This is Generations. I'm Steve Vaughn. I'm with Mike Cheney, and we are here covering for Kevin once again, bringing hope and relationships to a lost and dying world. Kevin has asked us, actually asked you, Mike, if we could do a show on fathers and sons hunting.
Yeah, he did, and I thought for a moment when I read his message asking us to do that, well, what could we do that would have some application to the Generations radio program and sort of the direction that Kevin likes for the show to go. And a few words or concepts came to my mind as I was thinking about it and before I spoke to you about it. But a couple of them were fellowship and training for life. You know, you and I have taken our sons out hunting together on several occasions, and have, of course, lots of stories we could tell folks about some of the adventures we've had, some of the things that have happened. But as we sit back and look at it, it seems like there have been some wonderful life lessons that have come out of those adventures that we've had. And so we thought we would talk about that a bit today and see if it would light a spark or be of help to any of the guys out there listening today.
Yeah, as far as fellowship, we did a lot of that because very often the things that we were hunting were in the wrong places, and so we did get to sit around and talk together and get to know each other even more as we developed our friendship. And those are times that it's hard to think of any other time that could happen, but when you are out alone without any distractions, there's only, two places that we could get cell signal.
Indeed.
We tried to stay away from those places, and we got to sit and talk. And some of those times have been, they're very enjoyable and have been very relationship building with not only me and you, but also with my son Zach and with you and your son Corey.
Yeah, indeed. I remember occasions when we would go out, and you know, when you're first starting on the hunting adventure, as we both did 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't know what to expect in terms of time frames or what would happen during the day. And but we found out very quickly that this is not at all like going to the grocery store and filling up your basket with groceries. You don't know when you go out if where you are going to go there are going to be any animals, the type that you're hunting for or seeking. And so there are also various ways that you can use to pursue the animals. And so we had lots of opportunities. I think the phrase in the modern culture is called downtime. We had lots of downtime where we could sit and talk. And I remember one occasion when we were sitting and waiting for some unsuspecting creature to come by that we could shoot, that we had an opportunity to talk about our faith, and I asked you about Abraham and his direction from God to take his son Isaac and use him as the sacrifice. And I told you that as I had read that through for the first time several years ago and meditated on it, that I could not imagine being Abraham and being able to obey God to that extent. And what a wonderful discussion we ended up having out on this hunting trip. It was amazing to be out there with no other distractions and no clock and no telephone to ring and interrupt you and no other appointments, and we were able to talk and fellowship and pray, and what a time that was.
Yes, it was very good. And so I think we could take a break right now, and then when we come back, we'll talk about what was the bulk of what went on, I think, and that is in training our sons to be men. And so we will get back to that right after this on Generations.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. This is Mike Cheney. I'm sitting today with my friend Steve Vaughn, filling in for Kevin Swanson, who's taking the day off. We have been talking today about a little bit different subject, perhaps on the surface at least, not as heavy or impactful as some of the other topics of the show. We're talking about hunting, and we thought that the timing would be good, given the time of year that it is. A lot of men and their sons are out or will be out or have just been out and come back from their winter and fall hunting trips, and we're talking about that in the context of relationships among men and their sons, and among them as groups. We've been chatting about how hunting, in addition to being a great time for fellowship, is also a wonderful time of training and of bringing up our sons, which brings us right back to many of the concepts that we talk about here on Generations day after day after day, and some of the things, Steve, that come to mind with regard to training up our sons in that arena, if you will, are the words protection and provision. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
When my son Zach and I had decided to embark upon this this adventure of hunting and going out and actually killing something, we needed to determine why we would go out and do this in the first place. And that just going out and killing things just for the sake of being able to do that, to show dominance over another creature by the fact that you have a gun and they don't, that just didn't seem like the right thing. And so what we did was we took a look at this. Why would somebody go hunting? Why would you kill anything in the first place? And the two things that come to mind are to protect or to provide or to do both. And so that fits even with your family. If somebody is trying to come in and attack you or break in or do some bodily injury to you or one of your loved ones, or even if you see that out on the street, you're biblically okay to take their life because you are protecting someone. If you're going to providing meat for your table, providing food, that is another reason why you could kill, to protect your crops. You can kill crows, you can kill pests, things like that, in order to protect your crop and protect your investment. And so before we went out, we determined that would be the only reason why we would kill. We're not going to just go and shoot something for the sake of shooting it.
You know, when Corey and I began talking about hunting even 2 or 3 years before we started, and we've been involved with the sport for, I guess, 5 years now, we watched some of the programs and some of the videos out there about different kinds of hunting and some of the animals. And we were, frankly, disturbed at the ones that seemed to focus on getting what they called trophy animals just for the sake of getting the prettiest one. And we decided that wasn't our goal either, that we would look upon this as an opportunity for he and I to be together under difficult conditions, and to be able to provide something for our family from our father's world. So we took that same course. And
not that we wouldn't shoot the trophy if it happened to walk in front of us, because that would certainly provide our meat as well. And I would put the head on my wall.
Yes, I would too, though I wouldn't pass over one looking for another one that had a better set of antlers or some better qualifications. That just wasn't what we were after. We, along the way, learned a great deal about protection and provision, and we also learned that the fact that you're out there does not mean that you are guaranteed to come back having filled your tag, in the jargon of the sport, or with an animal whose meat would fill freezer. And that leads us into the next area of this, which has to do with endurance and perseverance. I said at the beginning of the show that this was nothing like going out and going to the grocery store and filling up your cart and going home. You don't know what you're going to run into, if anything, when you go out there. You don't know just what the time frame is going to be. You don't know if you're going to be successful. But you do know, particularly if you go to where the game is, and at the time of year when the hunting is most plentiful, you know that the weather is not ideal. This isn't a picnic. It's not a walk in the park, and it requires that you exercise your strength and your endurance, because you have to walk, you have to be in bitter weather many times, and very, very quickly, the colder the weather gets and the longer the time gets between seeing animals or signs of them, the more your endurance is tested and the more that your perseverance is tested. And boy, does that bring to mind a whole bunch of scripture verses.
Something and also brings to mind 11,000 feet at minus 11 and a wind chill of, you know, what, negative 20 or negative 30, and sitting there for an hour, I think it was 2 hours that we were there, didn't see a thing, and Corey finally just got up and walked back to the truck because he had had it. He didn't have good boots, but he persevered and he endured for a long time, and without getting frostbite, which was good. And but then the whole thing about endurance, James chapter 1, that you consider it joy when you face trials and tribulations, because through that you get perseverance and you get endurance, and that leads to maturity. And so this is training our sons in maturing as men and learning perseverance and endurance.
You know, I remember when we got back to your travel trailer where we had made our camp a few days prior to getting up into that lumber camp at high elevation and absolutely horrid conditions. At the end of the day, we got back to camp, and I was so delighted, and I know Corey was too, because his feet were absolutely freezing. We were delighted to see that camp trailer. That seemed like a mansion to me when we were there. And when we got back home, I remember Corey and I discussing and telling his mother and sister how grateful we were to have the home that we have and how comfortable it is and how wonderful it is to be provided for by God in that way. Another thing that we learned on that first trip was about the concept of preparedness. At another time during that outing, Corey and I were out crawling on our bellies through this field, this little draw. We were 400 or 500 yards away from this little herd of elk, and the wind was blowing. There was a bad, bad crosswind, and there was a ground blizzard, and it was miserably cold. We're crawling along on our bellies, trying to get up close enough to take a shot, and Corey realized that he had forgotten one of his gloves. And he had a glove liner, which was woefully inadequate on one hand. And so he was forced to just put his hand in his coat pocket and sort of work his way along the ground without the benefit of that one hand, because we were too far out to turn back. And that was a situation where he was ill-prepared just in that one little way, but because of the weather conditions, that little lack of thinking on his part was exploited, and he was tested during that time for his endurance and for his strength and for his mental fortitude to be able to carry on and continue. And he actually did get up close enough and got a couple of shots off, but because of the conditions, missed the target. And that was another thing we got to talk about and debrief about as we were eating our supper later that night back at the camp trailer, that the conditions were rough, and in one way we were unprepared, but we still got the opportunity but could not carry out fully, or were not fully successful at the mission that day. But the lessons that were learned were better than if we would have very easily got an animal that day. That was a great time of preparation, and I know when he looks back on that, he will treasure that time, even though it was difficult.
And then that also brings to mind last year when we were out at the campsite on the first night when Corey and Zach decided that they would like to melt plastic bottles on the end of sticks and and then hit the sticks and watch the flaming plastic fly off of the sticks. Well, the very first whack of the stick, a piece of molten plastic came and sealed my son's eye shut. He reached up and ripped the plastic off, thereby also ripping off a lot of his skin. And he comes inside and shows me what's going on. And myself being a registered nurse and have always overpacked a first aid kit, had everything that I needed to treat such an injury. I was able to wash his eye out with cooled saline. I had antibiotic ointment. I had all kinds of dressings and things like that. And so we would have otherwise had to have come back. His eye got slightly infected. It did swell shut. Thankfully, it was his left eye, so he still had his Amen eye. But by the end of that week that we were out there, his eye had healed up enough to where he didn't have to wear an eye patch. And so being prepared for that type of thing even before you go out is something that I have also learned, that there are many different situations you can get into that you've got to have the things necessary with you, and if you don't, you've got to learn how to make do.
Yeah, that's right. There was a secondary lesson, I think, that both of the boys learned, and that had to do with irresponsibility and the consequences of that depending upon the environment that you're in. When you're a little child and you are irresponsible in some way, the consequences, generally speaking, are not too great. But the more difficult the conditions or the higher the stakes, so to speak, the older you are, when you fail in some area as a result of irresponsibility, there are consequences. And that patch over Zach's eye was a reminder to him and to Corey about the foolishness of the childish things that both of them then needed to leave behind.
Yeah, and it's not just the younger that end up being ill-prepared. Last year also, after you guys had left,
we had a
friend of ours that we decided we would split up, and he was going to go along the top of a ridge where we had seen some elk beds and come down that ridge and see if he could scare some elk out to in a little clearing up there on the mountain. And he decided that he didn't want to walk along the very top of that ridge and wanted to go the ridge over. And it turned out that he actually went two ridges over. And after he had been gone for an hour and a half to 2 hours, we realized that he wasn't where he was supposed to be.
And these are short days, and the cold sets in quickly. And
very quickly.
Where we were hunting the last 3 or 4 years is pretty rugged terrain.
Thankfully, we had just had a fresh drop of snow, and so I packed up a pack and grabbed my GPS. He didn't have a GPS. And I went out in search of him and spent the next hour and 45 minutes walking around in weather that was, it started off to be about zero, and by the time I got back to the truck, it was minus 12. And my hair was all white and my beard was white because of all the snow I'd come through. And I was cold and sweating. And as I left, I was thinking, man, he didn't have a GPS, he didn't have a backpack, he didn't have extra blankets or anything, because we thought this was going to be a short trip. And then after I left and was out there in the middle after I'd gone for about a half an hour, I went, I didn't bring any water. So I was trying to get everything else in place, and so I was ill-prepared for that. Although I knew I had the GPS and I knew I was always within about 500 to 1,000 feet from the vehicle, if something would have happened, had I slipped and fallen and bumped my head or something like that, I had no water. I did have my gun. I could have shot, but it turned out the snow was muffling the gun sounds. And so, there's a lot of there's a lot of responsibility out there, and there, when you're out there by yourself, you have to learn to be reliant on yourself. And not self-reliance in that you didn't need God. I knew that God was out there with us and that God knew where both of us were, even if I wasn't sure if he knew where he was. I knew where I was. I knew that God was always watching out for us. But God also wants us to strengthen our bodies, our minds, to be able to handle situations that he's going to throw at us.
Yeah, so all around. By the way, the end of that story is that our friend was found safely, though it was after dark, and both he and Steve were miserably cold, and Steve's son, Zach, was freezing and a little bit frightened, waiting at the truck for several hours. His cell phone had gone dead, and so here was a young 12- or 13-year-old lad sitting, and he knew from training from his father that he didn't need to panic, that though he was a little bit concerned and was probably very, very highly alert,
yes,
he did not panic, he did not leave, he did not do anything foolish. He just waited on his father.
He thought about it. And he told me that it was going through his mind, should I try to drive this truck down an ice-packed, four-wheel drive-only road to try to get down to somewhere? He had never driven before. And thankfully, wiser part of his head prevailed, and he decided he would wait. He didn't know if I was dead or alive. And, you know, he told me that. He said he was extremely frightened, and when he saw me come up over that ridge, that was one of the best things he'd ever seen, even though I looked like Santa Claus. And the miracle of the whole thing was that when I left, when I actually got out on the trail and started following our friend's trail, he was actually on the road on a foot and walked clear back to our campground, which was another 3 or 4 miles, jumped in his Jeep, and when I came up over the ridge and got down to our Suburban, he was pulling up in his Jeep, and we got there exactly the same time, and we were able to get down to the marketplace where there was a payphone, and I could call my wife and let her know we were safe, and she could call Mike and tell him don't call out the police, we're back. And and by the time we got back to our trailer, it was minus 28, and it was, you know, we were out there as long as we possibly could, but we knew that God was with us. I was prepared mostly for the cold weather. I had extra blankets. I had, you know, all kinds of things with me except for water. And we were prepared. And so I was relying upon my wits to be able to get out there and follow a trail in the dark and to be able to help our friend should he need help. And so being able to persevere, to have the endurance, have the provision, and being prepared and relying on what we had got us through that time.
Yes, indeed. And lest everybody think that all of this was sort of edge of your seat, near death experiences every moment. It sure was not that way. There were many, many times of laughter and joy and good fellowship. And this experience that we've had has made our friendship closer and made the friendship between our boys much closer as well, having those experiences in common. And there were successes even in the face of what, you know, some would consider a failure. For instance, the forgetting of a clothing item or an item that would make you more comfortable, it did serve to strengthen endurance. It did serve to make us realize that we can do things that we don't necessarily think we can do. It put in a position where we have to, we can do it. It also made our relationship stronger, the relationships between you and me and our sons, and me and my son, and I know you and your son, Zachary, because these experiences were, and many times in times of difficulty. And just lastly and quickly, this could be a whole other show, but it took us out of the realm of comfort and entertainment and things that are pleasing to us and easy. It was good to be, and it is good to be from time to time, as we are wont to do, out away from things. Well, we hope that you have gained. We hope that this has been a source of encouragement today. This is Mike Cheney for Steve Vaughn on Generations Radio. Thank you for joining us today.